Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I wish tomorrow would be the rapture and that this would be our last show here on earth. But alas, I think Brother Harold Camping is going to get a sickening feeling in his gut tomorrow as the day wears on. Predicting the timing of the rapture or the second coming is not a winning proposition because the best case is that you're right, and even then, nobody will care. When you're wrong, it's worse. But like the apostles, I'm looking for the Lord to return. But I also am thankful for his wisdom, mercy, and patience, because now Cheryl and I, our three youngest children, have had the gift of life and of salvation to eternal life, which they would not have had. They wouldn't even have been here. They wouldn't exist if Jesus had come back for us the first time that Harold Camping had predicted. Remember that back in 1994? Our youngest three sons would not exist. So thank you, Lord, for your mercy and long-suffering with mankind. In just a few minutes, we'll have a guest. Real important in that segment with our guest will be assuming that the rapture is not going to happen tomorrow. But the Apostle Paul, he was looking forward to Jesus coming for those of us who were alive and remained. The Christians who had already died, they were with the Lord. And so how about those of us who were alive and remained? Well, you know what I'd like to do? Since I have just a couple minutes here, I'd like to quote maybe a Bible verse or two. Do I have to comply with the FCC warning? Yeah? All right. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, so let me see here. Do I have the right version? Does that sound like a good, sturdy Bible? It's what do I have here? The New King James and the Apostle Paul's writings to the Thessalonians. I like those books. We've taught through these books, verse-by-verse Bible study of Thessalonians. We offer those studies here at Bob and Yurt Live and on our website, kgov.com. So here's what the Apostle Paul wrote, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. That's a euphemism for those who have died. In other words, they're already with the Lord. And so we're not going to precede them. We're not going to get to see him first. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, that is, their bodies. That's when they'll get their glorified bodies. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. You know, there are a lot of Christians who don't believe in the rapture, but they go overboard when they say that the Christians who do make it up out of thin air. No, we're not making it up out of thin air. We'll meet the Lord in the air. I mean, that's what Paul says here. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So if he just said clouds, they'd say, well, what kind of clouds are they? If he just said in the air, they'd say, well, what does he mean in the air? So the Lord will return. He'll descend from heaven. That means come down toward earth. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. And then remember what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and what a fun Bible study we have on 1 Corinthians and 2nd. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." And this was a mystery because God did not say this to Israel. This is to the body of Christ. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Now, what is sleep? Is a metaphor. It's a euphemism for die. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is just so neat. And by the way, that's where Paul says that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Why would he say the law? That's a fun Bible study. So I think that's about it. Maybe one more verse to the Thessalonians. Paul says in his second epistle to the Thessalonians, he says, "Now concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be so soon shaken or mind or troubled." They thought that the day of Christ had come already, some of them. There was a rumor to that effect. And he said, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the departure comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." Unless the departure comes first, a lot of people think that's the apostasy or the falling away. The Greek word is departure, and I think that's another reference to the rapture. And there's good reasons to see that it does, and we cover those in our Thessalonians Bible study and in our seminar called The Last Days. You might want to see that. Is our guest here? Our guest is here. All right. Now, this is really important because we're heading toward round three. And round three, Lord willing, will happen. And it's going to be big and it's important. So let's speak to one of the leaders of rounds one and two, and that's Leslie Hanks, longtime vice president of Colorado Right to Life. Leslie, it's an honor to see you in the studio.
Thank you, Bob.
You're very welcome. Leslie, when I say round three, what in the world am I talking about?
Well, I think you're talking about the personhood movement and getting Colorado to embrace the God-given, inalienable right to life of every preborn child from the beginning of his or her biological development.
Amen. So this is so crucial. Normally on Fridays, we have Real Science Friday with Fred Williams.
Right.
And Fred is getting his affairs in order and packing for the rapture.
Oh, yeah. I don't believe a word of that.
No, he's not. But I asked Fred, I told Fred about the importance that after speaking with you earlier in the week about the importance of Colorado Right to Life being ready to start this battle once again in round three, because it was 2008, Amendment 48. 2010, Amendment 62.
Right.
Now, Lord willing, it'll be 2012, round three, amendment we don't know yet.
That's right.
And we need to look to God for the courage, energy, and strength to get on the ballot, not only for Colorado, but for the whole nation and what's going on around the world even.
Yep.
That we're seeing with personhood.
The movement is growing by leaps and bounds. And I did want to say for the people that are really wanting a science connection, we really could say that we still know that there is strong scientific and biological affirmation that the baby is a human being from the very earliest moments of biological development.
Yeah.
So
from the beginning of the baby's biological development, that is a human species.
It's absolutely.
It's not another species. It's not Bison betularia. It's not a canine. It's
right.
It's not a horse. It's human from human parents. And it's not dead. It's alive.
That's right. And growing. And Bob, tell the great story about the signals that the baby sends to the mother from
the
earliest moments.
What a beautiful story. And that's, in fact, Fred said something very similar. Real Science Friday is all about teaching people that there is a creator who made us, who loves us, and he came to the earth in the birth of Jesus Christ and was crucified to pay for our sin and rose from the dead so that we could believe in him and have everlasting life. And we're killing innocent children And by that, people's hearts are getting harder against God. So more people turn away from God when you have all the perversion and the wickedness that's affirmed by society and largely tolerated by Christians and churches.
Right.
And so people's souls are hanging in the balance. So Fred was all in favor of us looking at the God-given right to life and taking today to get ready for round three. So yeah, when the baby is conceived, that almost always happens in the fallopian tube.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The mother ovulates and an ovum, a cell, begins a journey down toward the uterus in the fallopian tube, and that's where conception takes place,
mm-hmm.
fertilization. It was called conception for forever, since Latin was Latin.
Until like 1967,
yeah.
when the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists decided to redefine conception to mean implantation so they could market the birth control pill.
And lie to women and say it was a contraceptive when it was also apparently an abortifacient. The same thing with the IUD and now the
right.
morning after pill and these ways of killing the baby. So they lied. They said this prevents conception because they just redefined conception. But when the baby is conceived in the fallopian tube, he sends out a signal, and this is how the EPT works.
The pregnancy test?
Yeah, they've become so early. The early pregnancy test, they work because the baby sends out a signal, and it's not a hormone, it's a pheromone.
Right.
Now, I had our dear friend from ABC on the show recently, Karen.
Oh, Karen Malik from abortionbreastcancer.com.
That's right. Karen Malik. And she had not heard this. And after that show, I went and I did a little more research. And it's true. A hormone is a signal within an organism, like from one gland to another, one organ to another. But a pheromone is a signal from one organism to another organism.
Right.
And the baby is not a gland of the mother. The embryo.
Contrary to what Planned Parenthood and their
supporters
say.
They say that the fetus is a tumor sometimes.
Or a parasite. They
a like parasite and
a
tumor.
Yeah.
But we know, I don't even think they would say that the baby is an organ of the mother or a gland.
Right.
The baby is not. The baby is something else. It's an organism. When they say a parasite, that shows how cruel they are,
mm-hmm.
but it also is an insight to the truth. They're admitting it's not part of the mother's body.
That's true.
Like
That's
a parasite true. Is not part of your body. It's something else.
But what an insult to God's greatest gift.
Yeah.
New precious life, and you call it a parasite?
Yeah. And abortionist Warren Hernon Boulder says that it's a tumor, and pregnancy is like a cancer. And he says that, in fact, human beings are like a cancer
on the earth. Yeah.
Yeah. So the baby's coming down the fallopian tube, and he sends out a cry. The baby's first cry is a pheromone, a signal to mom that I'm here, mom, I'm hungry, please get ready to feed me. I'm hungry. And that's the baby's first cry, and that's how God designed us so wonderfully
made. It's such a miracle. And to think that people just throw the miracle in the trash 4,000 times a day, it just breaks your heart.
Yeah, it's devastating. And it turns people against God. A lot of Christians who say, well, church is just about praying and Sunday school and tithing, you know, of course.
And warming the pews.
Yeah. And they think this Christians should not be involved in political issues. Well, when they come to kill you or your children, then I bet you you'd want somebody who's a real Christian who loves their neighbor enough, the Bible says, don't stand back and let them die. Rescue those being drawn towards slaughter. Jesus talks about what love is. Love is trying to save your neighbor from dying by a crime, not by being apathetic and say, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't really care if you're killed. That's the opposite of Christ's love.
That's right.
So, Leslie, Colorado Right to Life is looking at potentially helping to lead round three of the personhood battle with another amendment. And in order to do that, the groundwork has to be laid now.
That's right.
And Colorado Right to Life has to be strong and firm now. And so I hope people will recognize the strategic value of what has happened and what's coming up. so that we can work through this.
Well, and we might want to talk a little bit about how it's growing leaps and bounds all over the country in such significant ways. And even Hungary has adopted a personhood affirming constitution, I believe, just recently. And Mexico has in many of their states.
Mexico has over half a dozen states. They've begun a personhood movement in Mexico, and they have had more success than we have here so far. They have passed personhood in a half a dozen states. And what is really thrilling is that the Mexico personhood movement, they're looking at what's happening in Colorado, and they're seeing that Colorado's vision is so thrilling because it looks toward victory, and it's not a defeatist attitude, that they want to emulate the way that we're fighting personhood here so they could continue to have victories in the states where it'll be more difficult. Like now, personhood is on the ballot in Mississippi.
For this upcoming election, and it looks really good that it's probably...
It may pass.
Yeah, it may pass.
Lord willing, if we support our brothers and sisters in Mississippi, as the American Family Association is doing down there, Don Wildman, his son Tim Wildman, they are fully vested in standing behind the God-given right to life of every innocent child and passing personhood. And so Mississippi is not as liberal as Colorado.
Right.
So that means they love children more, and they don't want to rip the arms and legs off of tiny children like Planned Parenthood does. There are way more people there who say we should love these kids and protect them. So the polls right now, it looks like it might pass.
Isn't it like 70% are saying that they intend to vote for it?
That's, I know, I don't want to be overly optimistic, but yeah, it looks good. It looks good. And so Mississippi is now on the ballot because of the vision that God gave to Christians here in Colorado. Now, there have been Christians for decades, for centuries, for millennia that have fought for justice and to protect the innocent. But there was something that happened back about 4 years ago when God moved among Christians in Colorado. Christy Burton, Colorado for Equal Rights.
Right.
Brian Rohrbaugh, the president of Colorado Right to Life. You, the vice president. And a group of Christians came together, Cal Zastro, Keith Mason. They eventually formed Personhood USA. And got the signatures with God's grace and help, 130,000 signatures to get on the ballot, and that began the modern personhood movement. And we lost by a 3-1 margin, quite a trouncing, but I don't remember you being discouraged.
Not really, because it would have been beyond miraculous if it would have passed the first time.
Yeah, right. That would have been like the Roman Empire and all of Palestine saying, oh, Jesus from Nazareth, we love him. He's the Messiah. Instead, right. They crucified him. And so you could sort of predict these things.
Right.
Yeah, we said, praise God that the pro-life movement has found its voice for victory. And now that was round one. And then we went to round two, and we not only got on the ballot, but a personhood movement in earnest began all over the country.
That's right.
And we closed the gap from a 3-1 loss to a 2-1 loss, that's significant.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So now we're on the ballot in Mississippi, where, Lord willing, it might pass, but we got to support them with money and time, and there's things we'll be able to do on the internet, so we'll get into that as the campaign takes off. But there are personhood leaders and groups all over this country now that are getting signatures and that are gearing up for the 2012 election cycle to get personhood amendments on their state ballots. And it's happening all over the country.
And I think the people are really just saying, we're just not willing anymore to regulate and to pass heartbeat bills that leave out babies for the first 6 to 8 weeks because you can't maybe detect a heartbeat. And
yeah, abortion may continue for another 200 years if we keep going the exceptions and the regulations route.
That's right.
But Christians rising up, without a vision, the people perish, the Bible says. Personhood really is the dagger in the heart of liberalism, because everything else is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Everything else. If we got rid of Obama and we got Hillary, I mean, oh, that's going to fix the country. We get rid of Hillary and we get Mitt Romney, who's pro tax-funded late-term abortion and homosexual marriage.
Right.
And socialized health care. And so what? We're going to do these things and fix the country?
Well, interesting you bring up the Titanic, because you and I were speaking earlier on the phone about turning a massive ship. And what an effort and a struggle. And
It's
massive undertaking, it really is.
Right.
To write the direction of the ship.
Because the ship was the pro-life movement. And the pro-life movement started out headed in the right direction, but was quickly taken over by lawyers, fundraisers, and politicians. And they squeezed the Christians for everything they could get out of them, money, votes, and power, and have produced almost a 30-year record of utter failure.
Sadly, that's so true.
55 million children killed, chemical abortions epidemic through the roof. Probably the number of kids actually killed has gone up, not down, because of all the chemical abortifacients.
Exactly.
And all the regulations have done nothing, of course, to teach people that God created us and we're in His image and His likeness. So, Leslie, Colorado Right to Life is in great need right now because we are in between
efforts.
Battles.
Yes.
We're in between efforts. People think about other things.
That's right.
And what they don't realize is that the core group of people who have been working so hard and without pay for all these years.
That's right.
Right? You get paid?
I do not.
You do not. The core group of people, the officers, spokesmen, the board who has worked for years without pay is really having a difficult time, because to turn that ship takes an enormous effort to turn the pro-life movement away from exceptions and regulations and compromise to the vision for victory. That has taken such a huge effort. And that effort, it's mostly, a lot of people have been supporting personhood. It's mostly Colorado Right to Life that has expended the effort to turn the ship to the right direction.
And tell people just a little bit about what you mean by that. I mean, the whole good cop, bad cop thing.
Yeah.
We have to preach no exceptions, and it's not a popular position.
Because so many politicians and Christian leaders have taken the route, which is brought in literally, and we've documented it, hundreds of millions of dollars from pro-lifers on single projects, single pro-life projects that never had the ability to stop even one abortion, like the PBA ban fiasco.
Right.
And so all the Christian leaders and politicians who spend 15 years promoting a project like that and literally taking and sharing in a pie of hundreds of millions of dollars, they're not comfortable when somebody comes along and opens the eyes of the body of Christ and says, this has been wrong. This has been virtually fraudulent. We need to stop regulating how to kill kids. We need to turn our eyes to the Lord. And it is the God-given right to life and loving these kids that we have to implement in law. That's what we have to do. The right to life. Not how you kill the baby, but the right to life.
Amen.
And so in trying to teach people that, many, many, many people have become angry at Colorado Right to Life. And Leslie, was that a surprise to you or any of us from the beginning?
Oh, I don't think so.
No,
we knew we were taking a risk, but we knew we had to do it because it was the right thing to do. And as you tell your audience for years and years and years, do the right thing and risk the consequences.
Yeah, do right and risk the consequences. So the good cop, bad cop, there are many groups around the country promoting personhood. Praise God for them, many leaders. And they haven't really had to bear the brunt of the movement that's angry that the ship is being turned. So Colorado Right to Life has been like the rudder of turning this great ocean-faring vessel, and it's borne tremendous stress and difficulty. And so what I always hope is that if you do right, stand up, honor the Lord, do right, then everyone will come out of the woodwork to support you financially and volunteer and say, we want to help. We'd like to be on the board. We'd like to be a spokesman. We'd like to help to run the next campaign. We'd like to be an artist. We'd like to do this. Here's a monthly support. That doesn't really happen. It surprises me, but it doesn't really happen.
And, you know, there's so many wonderful people in Colorado, so much talent that came out and helped us during the last effort, and so many people that do love the Lord and love the babies, that I'm optimistic that if they hear that there's a need, that they will rise to the occasion, because we started this whole mess in Colorado, and we really have a moral obligation to end it. And so if you're a person that believes that, get on board. We'd love to have your input.
And your finances, your prayers, your finances, your leadership, Colorado Right to Life, the core group needs to be reinforced. We need, like Moses fighting a battle and Aaron comes along and holds up his arms, we need people to come along and hold up Leslie's arms. We need people to come along and help, and the need is tremendous. The financial need right now, there's a need for $10,000 right now to secure the lease for the office, which, you know, that comes up every so often. And Colorado Right to Life has a fabulous office three doors down from the Capitol, downtown Denver. And Leslie, the financial integrity of Colorado Right to Life, I mean, that office, you'd think you'd have to pay thousands of dollars a month for it. And it is a very, very good deal.
It is. And we really have only one paid employee and have only had one paid employee for what, the last?
The office manager, Donna Ballantyne, right, for many, many years. And so we need people to give. Two ways you can give financially, and we need your help. We need you as a writer, as a thinker, as a strategist, and if you'd like to help run the next campaign, Lord willing, if the next campaign will happen, that'll depend on you stepping forward and helping. So either call Colorado Right to Life, 303-753-9394, or go online to the website, ColoradoRightToLife.org. I mean, it couldn't be easier.
It's great. I actually gave a little donation today, and there's a PayPal link, and boy, is that easy.
That's real easy. You could do it with a credit card online, right?
Right? Uh-huh. You can.
Of course, you can mail a check. You could either go to the website, get the address, or call and get the address. The phone number again, 303-753-9394. Your help is needed. Leslie, we can't overstate how dear the need is right now.
We can't, and I sure appreciate you always being there, Bob, to promote the inalienable right to life of every one of these precious children. And thank you so much for all the research you and your team do. It's awesome. It's inspiring. What a blessing. Thank you again.
So thank you, Leslie, and please help ColoradoRightToLife.org.